Eric, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to have you back in Philadelphia. It's been too long.
Thanks, buddy. It has been.
Pennsylvania. I mean, this is the must-win state. We got to do it. I know your wife's been here a few times, Laura Trump, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. She's been here a few times working hard. This is the battleground. We're here, ground zero for this election, Eric.
Yeah, listen, there's no question, Pennsylvania. If Pennsylvania's won, obviously the entire country's won, and there's no question. I think we won Pennsylvania last time, but I can tell you that what's happening in the state, I know very well. Every Trump lived there. I lived in Pennsylvania for 5 years. I know the state incredibly well. My father went to school there. Don, Ivanka, Tiffany. Our entire family went to school in Pennsylvania and lived in the state. But it is a state we care about a lot. It's also a state that's totally under assault. I mean, Pennsylvania's got the most natural gas and pretty much on the East Coast of the United States and really in the United States. And you see an administration that puts an all-out, ban on any kind of fracking, any kind of, exploration of that gas when they have more liquid gold under their feet than anybody else. You've got cities like Philadelphia that are a mess in terms of crime and violence, carjackings, robberies. There's not a single person that lives in the city that doesn't feel that and doesn't know it very, very well. I lived right outside the city, and, it was bad when I was there, and nothing has changed politically. But that has to change because Pennsylvania is a great state. And then you just have a country that's overall a mess. I mean, you have, the largest price increases in the history of our nation. Nothing's affordable anymore, Rich. I mean, nothing. Gas is three times as expensive as my father was in office. Mortgages are unaffordable. I mean, my father had 2.5%. Interest rates on mortgages, and now you're at 7, 8, 9% if you can even get one. The prices of houses have become unaffordable because of inflation, because of Harris and Biden, what they've done. People can't live. You have zero wage growth in this country, zero wage growth in this country over the last 4 years, and you've had 10% inflation every single year, and it's why people have just gotten absolutely crammed down and can no longer afford life. All while we have a border that's an absolute mess. We have 300,000 kids this year who've died of fentanyl poisoning, all coming across the southern border. And you have politicians. I mean, my father's laying a wreath in Arlington National Cemetery, 2 days ago for, the 13th anniversary of Abbeygate in Afghanistan, the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. And you have Joe Biden literally sleeping on a beach. I mean, this is these people, and it's hard to believe that this is the incompetence that could be running this country.
There's a lot to unpack there. Let's talk about, first of all, 2020. You said, I think we won. There's no doubt, first of all, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court absolutely interfered in that election and overstepped the Constitution, usurped the legislature, and said mail-in ballots can be counted for days. They don't need postmarks. They don't even need to be legible. They cheated, no question about that. That's something that's not a conspiracy theory. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania 100% did. Everyone knows that. But are you worried going into this election that the Democrats are going to try to steal this election? Are you confident that we can have a fair election? I mean, it's 4 years later. We know the tricks. We know the games, and we know they're going to play them.
Rich, I'm mortified, but at the same time, I sleep next to a person every single night who works 20 hours a day on election integrity and has done a hell of a job. I mean, the victories that we've had all across the country, including many in Pennsylvania, and I'd say Pennsylvania is one of the hardest states in this regard, but have been, astronomical. I mean, she got 1.1 million people off the voter rolls in Texas, illegal immigrants, people who had died. I mean, they just never claimed their voter rolls. Same thing, Clark County in Nevada. They just got 90,000 people off the voter rolls there.
That's
They've had
awesome.
So many big wins in
That's
Arizona,
amazing.
And I can keep going through it.
Wow.
She just sued Detroit because, in Detroit and in Michigan, you have to have the same amount of poll watchers, Democratic poll watchers, as Republican poll watchers. So we submitted all the Republican poll watchers, and they took 40 of them. They took 2,000 Democrats, right? And so you had 2,000 against 40. And, they wrote them a letter. They never heard back, and about 48 hours later, they filed a massive suit in Detroit. There's 86, 87 lawsuits that are currently underway right now. There are efforts to clean up the voter rolls, and you have the biggest election integrity effort in the history of our country, and by the way, and more so in Pennsylvania than probably anywhere else. So I can say that we're doing absolutely everything we can. But listen, let me just go back a little bit. They've done everything that they can to take out my father in every way, shape, and form. I mean, they made up the Russia hoax, right? And the dirty dossiers. They tried to impeach him twice, and right when that didn't work, they weaponized every single AG and every DA and every far left state, right? And in Atlanta, Georgia, and in, you know, New York City and Washington, D.C. I mean, the most far left districts, they weaponized those districts. And then when that didn't seem to be working and all it did was drive up his poll numbers and fundraising, what did they do? They turned to Colorado and they turned to Maine. And, you know, let's take him off the ballot in those states. Let's have a couple, you know, radical justices, you know, defy the will, you know, of hundreds of millions of Americans who deserve the right to vote in a free and fair election. And, you know, then the Supreme Court overturned that. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you know, they tried to kill him. I mean, you know, some lunatic literally shot him in the head, right? Shot him in the ear. And they've done everything that they could to try and take out my father. And there's no question. There's no question that they play funny games. I mean, you know, the games that we saw in Philadelphia in 2020 were astronomical. They weren't letting our poll watchers in the convention center. They weren't, you know, we found ballots in creek beds. I mean, I can go on and on, right? I mean, that's just the tip of the surface. But, you know, what I can tell you is we've had greater registration, Republican registration in Pennsylvania than ever before. We're poised to win the state. Every person that's listening to us right now knows that we're going backwards as a country. We've lost our respect around the world. Again, no one's living the American dream. People can't afford to live in this nation anymore. Wages stink. Jobs are going back overseas. You know, we're losing our industry again. I mean, it's one of the things that the strong dollar is doing is making it unaffordable for people to buy American products and unaffordable to vacation in America. You know, and it's also causing, you know, companies to go overseas where they can use a strong dollar to buy cheap product. You know, we have so many problems, not to mention endless wars that we're funding, you know, $200 billion spent on Ukraine while we have the 30th, our educational system in this country is 30th in the world. So we spent $200 billion so young kids can shoot each other in trenches at point blank range, but we can't invest in our, you know, educational system in Philadelphia and in cities across this country. I mean, have we lost our minds? And I think everybody knows the answer to that. We have. All while you have an inept administration. You have Kamala, who's, you know, sitting there, you know, her vice president, you know, pick. You know, if Donald Trump builds a 25-foot-tall wall, I'm going to build a ladder factory in Mexico to build 30-foot ladders. I mean, this is a guy whose greatest accomplishment in Minnesota is putting tampons in boys' bathrooms. Like this is what he campaigned on, tampons in boys' bathrooms. And, you know, and not to be long-winded, but you have somebody coming out and, you know, you have Kamala coming out and saying, you know, my first priority is going to be to focus on high prices in this country. And I'm sitting there saying, listen, I know the White House better than any human being on the planet. Like, your office is, you know, 5 feet away from the Oval Office. Like, where the hell have you two been over the last, you know, 4 years, as prices have just decimated everyone, decimated every business, decimated lifestyles in this country, decimated, you know, the American dream. Where have you been? And now you're going to focus on it? You know, it's a little too late.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well said. And, you know, look, you are a business guy, obviously, and Trump wine, which I highly recommend. It's if you can find it in the stores, grab it. It's delicious. The Meritage, my favorite. The effect of a business climate on Kamala Harris, if she raises corporate taxes, there's not enough attention about this. But that's one of the things your father did when he first got in there was lower the corporate tax rate. We were able to bring all this money in from overseas that was just sitting there because people didn't want to pay the taxes on it. She's going to go backwards with that. And they keep talking about we're not going back. That's literally what they're going to do if they win. They're going to go back to those high corporate tax rates.
I just want to put this in perspective for everybody. France did this. And you don't have a single company in France anymore. It has decimated their economy. There's no backbone to the French economy anymore because every single company has left France because they can't afford to be there. They can't be competitive with the rest of the world. She wants to tax unrealized gains. So you have a gain. You have a gain on paper, but you never sold a product, right? You never sold a house. You never sold a company, but there's a technical gain on paper. She wants to tax that at like 49%. I mean, you're going to bankrupt every company in the country. You're going to bankrupt Apple. You're not going to – no company will survive this. And, you know, I don't think they know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, this is a person who's never signed the front of a check, never, you know, had a real job, never ran a company. I mean, what did she do? I mean, she's been dependent on the government her entire adult life, no different than Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden – I'm a 40-year-old guy. Joe Biden's been in office for 55 years. 55 years. It's It's crazy. But what we need to do is we need to have my father put in the biggest tax cuts in the history of this nation, and he'll do so again. He put in the biggest regulation cuts in the history of this nation. He'll do so again. He's going to seal the southern border. He's going to stop the fentanyl crisis. He's going to focus on education, something that really means a lot to him. We're 30th in the world in education. We should be number one at education, and we're falling behind. Our kids are falling behind. He's going to focus on inflation. He's going to focus on prices. He's going to bring interest rates back down to where they were before, which is largely driven, as you know, better than anybody by inflation, right? I mean, the only reason interest rates are high is to combat inflationary pressures that were put on by Kamala and Joe and their war on oil and gas and excessive spending. You get interest rates down, you're going to get life affordable. People are going to be able to live the American dream. And my father does not need to be doing this. I mean, he does not, you know this, Rich. I mean, he does not need to be doing this. His life would be exponentially better at Mar-a-Lago and taking it easy and having fun with his grandkids. But we've got to save this country. We're going in a horrible direction. It's so sad to see. It's so sad to see.
Well, I appreciate you working so hard. I appreciate Laura working so hard as well. You're a great guy. I remember the first time I met you at Trump Tower back in 2015 in the fall when nobody thought your dad had a chance. But here we are today, and we got to make sure we put him over the finish line again. Eric Trump, thank you for your time. It's great to have you back in Philadelphia. Come back and talk to us again soon, my friend.
Can't wait, Rich.